conference, something about singles announcements. Okay, we have... Yes, we have a chariot ride on the 24th of September. Chariot ride, if you don't know what that is, Acts 8, Philip got onto the chariot with this Ethiopian eunuch, and in one length of chariot ride was able to explain all of Christianity. That's all it takes to explain to somebody what it takes to become a Christian. And so we have these chariot rides. There's no chariots or horses included in a chariot ride. All it is a time where we bring our friends and we explain what it takes to be a Christian. Okay? This is a bit different from other events. Other events, you mark your calendar and you don't plan anything for that day because you want to come to this event. You come, you have a blast, and you leave and you look forward to the next one. But with a chariot ride, it's a bit different. It takes a bit of preparation. Because we actually want our friends to come along. That's the point of a chariot ride. It's not really for Christians. It's for our friends. And so now, a few weeks in advance, we want to start preparing. Who are we going to bring to this chariot ride? And it's hosted by singles, but it's not just for singles. It's for everybody. Teens and marrieds and parents and whoever you are, you can bring your friends to this chariot ride. So mark your calendar for this day, but also mark your hearts for this day. We want to bring as many people as we can to hear the word of God. Amen? Is that it? Is that the only one? Karen, anything else? Singles workshop in Manchester. There you go. 4th and 5th of December. No, that's not the... Oh, yeah. Okay, of course. Okay, so 4th and 5th of November, all singles are invited to come to Manchester for a teaching day by Andy Fleming. That's going to be awesome. We decided with Andy that we would have two big singles events for all the UK. One is the singles retreat, which is awesome, and the other one is one that they host in Manchester, and we want to support them. And so if you're able to go to that, please mark your calendar for that. Amen? Is that it? Karen? Good? All right, John chapter 10. I'm coming. I'm already here. I'm waiting for you guys. Yes, come on. John chapter 10. Today we're going to do a lesson on Jesus. Our theme in the South region is Acts in our time, which I think is a fantastic theme. We want to put into practice what we read in the book of Acts. Everything that they did, the example that those young Christians set, for us, can be applied 2,000 years later. The Word of God is still living and active. And I think that the way that we're going to do that is by focusing on Jesus Christ. So today we're going to look at John chapter 10. We're going to look at Jesus, his life, what he says about himself. The title of my lesson is Life to the Full. Because that's what Acts in our time is all about. Amen? We'll read starting in verse 1, but before we do that, let's say a prayer. Father God, thanks so much for bringing us here. We are, at this moment, going to look into your word, Father. We want to receive direction and guidance and encouragement and correction and whatever it is that we need, Lord. You know what we need. Father, I pray that you speak to each one of us, Father. I pray you move me out of the way, Lord. I pray these aren't my thoughts, but they're your thoughts, Father. I pray that after today, your vision for our lives will be our vision for our lives, Dad. Jesus promises us life to the full. I know that it takes a long time to really grasp what that means, Father, life to the full. But we know that it's a promise from you, Lord, and we know that we can only achieve it by putting our trust in you and following your Son. We pray for that, Lord. I pray that this sermon helps, and we pray that we all leave here inspired and challenged to follow Jesus more closely. We love you, and we pray this in the name of Jesus. Amen. John chapter 10. In verse 1, I tell you the truth, a man who does not enter the sheep pen by the gate, but climbs in by some other way, is a thief and a robber. The man who enters by the gate is the shepherd of his sheep. The watchman opens the gate for him, and the sheep listen to his voice. He calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. And when he has brought out all of his own, he goes on ahead of them, and his sheep follow him because they know his voice. But they will never follow a stranger. In fact, they will run away from him because they do not recognize a stranger's voice. Jesus used this figure of speech, but they didn't understand what he was telling them. So therefore, Jesus said again, I tell you the truth. I am the gate for the sheep. All who ever came before me were thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not listen to them. I am the gate. Whoever enters through me will be saved. He will come in and go out and find pasture. The thief only comes to steal and kill and destroy, but I have come that they may have life and have it to the full. I am the good shepherd. the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. The hired hand is not the shepherd who owns the sheep. So when he sees the wolf coming, he abandons the sheep and runs away. When the wolf attacks the flock, then the wolf attacks the flock and scatters it. The man runs away because he is just the hired hand and cares nothing for the sheep. I am the good shepherd. I know my sheep and my sheep know me. Just as the Father knows me and I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. I have other sheep that are not of this sheep pen. I must bring them also. They too will listen to my voice, and there shall be one flock and one shepherd. The reason my Father loves me is that I lay down my life, only to take it up again. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down of my own accord. I have authority to lay it down and authority to take it up again. This command I received from my Father. At these words, the Jews were again divided. Many of them said, "He's demon-possessed and raving mad. Why listen to him?" But others said, "These are not the sayings of a man possessed by demon. Can a demon open the eyes of the blind?" And we'll stop there. In chapter 9, Jesus heals this blind man, and apparently it was a big deal to the Pharisees. And here, Jesus follows up by using a metaphor to describe what it's like to follow him. Throughout all of the Gospels, he uses many metaphors to describe Christianity. He calls this a hospital for sick people. He says it's like a master and his servants, a father and his sons. Being a disciple is like building a house or a tower. It's a king with his kingdoms. It's like a garden, and I am the gardener. It's like being a vine. You're the branches, and I'm the vine. And here, he uses another metaphor. He says it's like sheep following a shepherd. In verse 7, Jesus calls himself the gate, but they didn't understand it. So he tells them another analogy where he says, "I am the shepherd of the sheep." And throughout all the Gospels, Jesus calls himself a shepherd. In Matthew 6:34, Jesus looks at the crowds and has compassion on them because they were like sheep without a shepherd. In Luke 15, he says, "If I had 100 sheep, and I would be so happy, but if one of them left, I would leave the 99, I would go to that one. And when I found that, when he's lost and found, I would be happier about that one sheep than about the 99 that didn't even need to repent." That's how much he cares for each one of his sheep. He's using these analogies to show the concern, the careful concern that he has for each and every one of us. Many parallels between Christianity and shepherding. So as a Christian, I've tried to study out what it's like to be a shepherd. Just what was it like? What a daily basis? What did they have to go through? What is it like tending sheep? I didn't know. I don't know many shepherds today. Doing a lot of reading. It's very, very fascinating. So today I'm kind of putting on a bit of my teacher hat. And I hope it's kind of informative because not many of us are shepherds. But the biggest thing I've learned from my studies is my first point is that Jesus is a good shepherd. Amen. Jesus is a good shepherd. What is a shepherd? It's simply somebody who looks after the sheep, keeping them healthy, making sure they're protected, making sure that they stay away from the bugs and the beasts and the insects and the robbers. In verse 3, he says, he calls the sheep by name and he leads them out. And imagine ancient Palestine. Palestine is perfect for tending sheep because it's rainy enough that to keep the grass growing and to have plenty of streams for the sheep to drink water whenever they need to, but it's dry enough that the sheep don't have a lot of diseases and contagious infections. And so you can imagine being a sheep in this pen, and the shepherd opens the gates and you see these vast fields of grass and hills and everywhere, and he leads us out to pasture, it says. And you go and you just, all day long, you get to eat and explore and just be sheep. And you have this total trust in your shepherd. In verse 14, he says, he knows his sheep. A shepherd knows everything about the sheep. Every night, he brings the sheep back into the pen and he inspects each one. And he looks underneath their legs and through their fur, and he checks for any kind of injuries, any kind of signs of sickness, any kind of bugs that might get in there and lay some eggs. Jesus knows each one of us. Amen. Each one of us. He knows how many hairs on your head. He knows your desires in life. He knows who your closest friends are. He knows how much you dislike your job. He knows everything about us because he knows his sheep. In verse 4, it says he goes on ahead of them. Jesus, I mean, he calls us to some high standards. He asks us to climb some pretty steep hills once in a while. The sacrifice that we need to make to follow him is pretty high, but Jesus goes on ahead of us. Everything that Jesus told us to do, he did first. He set an example. He wasn't willing to tell us anything that he didn't tell us to do anything that he wasn't willing to do himself, because he goes on ahead of us. You can't drive sheep. You can only lead them. In verse 16, it says, I must bring the sheep together under one flock. I love the diversity of a church of disciples. I love it. English, British, African, European, American, it doesn't matter. We can get along. One flock, one church under one shepherd. That's Jesus' vision for us. Diversity under one flock. Jesus is a good shepherd. I like in verse 3, he says that he talks about his voice. I call out to the sheep and the sheep know my name. Interesting, in Palestine, space is limited. And so lots of different flocks can be kept in the same pen. Okay, and the shepherd knows their sheep from all the inspections and daily inspections. But they would have a call, a special call, that their sheep know. I have no idea what it sounds like. Do not ask me to repeat one. I'm not even going to say it. But they would have a call, and all the sheep would look up because they recognize that sheep call. And it was so specific that if the sheep were to hear the same call but with a different voice, they would panic. They would instantly be alarmed because that's not, something's wrong here. And then the sheep scatter if you tried to imitate the shepherd. We know the shepherd's voice. We're very grateful to have Jesus' words preserved for us for the last 2,000 years. We can hear his voice. We know what it sounds like. We know what his teachings are, that they ring true in our hearts because we have quiet times every day and we're constantly filling our soul with the words of God. We can know what he taught and we can defend ourselves against false shepherds. Amen? That's what he talks about here. When you look at these false shepherds, these bad shepherds, these thieves and robbers and whatever else he talks about, when you look at them, you can see how much Jesus stands out. You can see the contrast. In Ezekiel 34, God says, woe to the shepherds of Israel who only take care of themselves. Zechariah chapter 11, verse 17, God says, woe to the worthless shepherds who desert the flock. You know, have you ever felt deserted or abandoned? Or you relied on something and it wasn't there for you when you needed it? Woe to these shepherds who desert the flock. That's what Jesus is talking about here in verse 8. He mentions these thieves and robbers. Thieves and robbers. Every night, if you're a shepherd, you are motivated to get them into that sheep pen so that they can be protected from the robbers, from any kind of wild beasts and the thieves. These two words here in Greek, they mean two different things. Thieves and robbers. A thief is more subtle and tricky, maybe like a pickpocket or a con man. You might not know that he's stealing from you. But a robber is much more violent, like a bandit or a mugger. Like, you know when you've been mugged. And the purpose of both, though, however, their tactics are just to deceive you and to steal from you, to exploit you. And it's when the sheep are in danger like this that you see how good of a shepherd they really have. Jesus says here in verse 11, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep, but the hired hand is not the shepherd who owns the sheep. So when he sees the wolf coming, he abandons the sheep and runs away. And the wolf attacks the flock and scatters it. The man runs away because he's a hired hand and cares nothing for the sheep. A hired hand will run away. Obviously, hired hands, you're just being paid to do what you need to do. You don't really care about the sheep. You just care about your paycheck or your responsibility or your your duty. And there are times when I've been revealed as a hired hand. I've been a disciple for 8 years, and throughout those last 8 years, I've done a bit of leading and teaching and discipling. If you're visiting this church, discipling is a word we use to describe training and correcting and encouraging young Christians. You study the Bible with you to help you to become a Christian, but after you're baptized, we don't just neglect you, we continue to disciple you. And the first two guys that I discipled, their names were Dave and Mark. And right now, they're my closest friends. I really hope that they'll be here next year for my wedding, and I want you guys to meet them. They're doing great now. Mark is a campus minister in Ohio, and Dave is he leads the teen ministry in Richmond. Doing fantastic, but about a year after they became a Christian, they weren't doing too well. I wasn't doing too well as their discipler. I was struggling in my purity. I liked this girl, one of the sisters at church, and she didn't like me back. And so I was struggling with discontentment and anger and bitterness and why. And I was getting into lots of arguments with my campus minister. I wasn't working well with him. I thought I had all of these better ideas, things that, you know, need to happen, or else I'm going to be discontent. And I was doing terrible, just tons of pride. And it showed by my fruit, because Dave and Mark were struggling in their faith. And there were times when they needed me the most, times when they needed me to come and pray with them or teach them something that I'd been taught, or just to be a brother's keeper. And I remember times when they made it obvious that they needed me, but I would just focus on myself and focus on my needs first and my affairs. I was so discontent and proud that I couldn't even see that they needed me. I was exposed as a hired hand, and the leaders of the church and my campus minister, you know, they saw my sin, and they said, "Ian, I think you're not in a place to lead anybody right now. I think you need to focus on yourself for a while. Help yourself to become more like Christ." And it was a very humbling time. Very humbling experience for me. But I see now that God used it to refine me and to teach me the importance of not being a hired hand, but being a shepherd. Somebody who cares for the sheep. Somebody who is willing to lay down your life for the sheep. I'm grateful that Jesus wasn't the hired hand. He was the shepherd. He'll always set a good example. He will always challenge us to keep our standard high, to keep serving and loving God. He'll always listen to our prayers and give us what we need. He knows what we need better than we do. We tell God all these things that we want, and Jesus looks at us and responds by giving us what we need. He is a good shepherd. Amen. My second point is that Jesus is the good shepherd. Jesus is the good shepherd. In this chapter, Jesus' words here make it clear that he thought he was the only way to God. The only way to God. In verse 7, he says, "I am the gate for the sheep. All who ever came before me were thieves and robbers. I am the gate, and whoever enters through me will be saved." Jesus is the good shepherd. I read a commentary about this passage because I was confused about how can Jesus be the gate and the shepherd at the same time. This is what I found. The switch from shepherd to gate seems strange to us, but it shouldn't. At night, the shepherd stood at the gate and inspected each sheep as it entered. If it was scratched or wounded in any way, he would anoint it with oil to help the healing. If it was thirsty, it would give it water. And after all the sheep were in, the shepherd would sleep across the doorway so that no one could pass. Saying, "I am the gate," implies that he is the sole determiner of who comes in and who comes out. Just like the saying, "No one comes to the Father except through me." You know, back then the shepherd would literally sleep across the gate. They would go on these journeys through the highlands just looking for grass, and after he would get the sheep back into his pen, he would sleep there and make sure that nobody came in without his permission. We need Jesus' permission to come to God. We need to go through Jesus in order to get to God. If you think that there's some other way to make it to God, if you think that you can be a good person or follow some other religion, or even follow this religion. Oh, I can make it because I come to church every week. Well, then you're deceived. You need Jesus to be your shepherd. And I encourage you to study out what Jesus taught about that. In John alone, there's claims everywhere in his gospel. Claims everywhere. Jesus says, I am the light of the world. I am the light of the world. I am the way that the world is going to be able to see clearly. Not a light, the light. He says, I am the bread of life. You need me on a daily basis in order to survive. The bread of life. I am the true vine. You need to stay attached to me to receive the nutrients that you need. Or else you will die if you get cut off. I am the resurrection and the life. The only hope you have of an afterlife. Chapter 14, verse 6. We all know it well. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. You know, some might think that that's harsh to make everyone conform to the same way of life in order to reach God. But that's just when we need to consider that this is God's plan from the beginning. God's plan from the beginning. Ezekiel 37. Go ahead and turn there. It's a great prediction of what was to come. Ezekiel was written 580 years before Jesus. And it was at a time when the Israelites were left God, fell into sin, and so they were conquered, dispersed. They're now exiled in Babylon and Assyria and elsewhere. They have no king or shepherd to help them at this point. But God gives them here a little vision of the future to give them hope. Help them to see what he sees. In verse 24, God says, my servant David will be king over them. And they will all have one shepherd. They will follow my laws and be careful to keep my decrees. And they will live in the land I gave my servant Jacob, the lands where your fathers lived. And they and their children and their children's children and their children's 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 children will live there forever. And David, my servant, will be their prince forever. I will make a covenant of peace with them. It will be an everlasting covenant. I will establish them and increase their numbers. And I will put my sanctuary among them forever. My dwelling place will be with them. I will be their God. And they will be my people. Then the nations will know that I, the Lord, make Israel holy when my sanctuary is among them forever. God tells them here in the future that somebody is going to unite you guys. Somebody is going to bring you back and gather you together and rule over you and be your shepherd. One person is going to do that. We can, if you're a Christian, I want to encourage you to have confidence that this was Jesus Christ of Nazareth 2,000 years ago. I know we are surrounded by different opinions, but as a Christian, we are to hold up that truth. There are tons of people all around us at work and in our neighborhood who don't have a shepherd, or they think of themselves as their shepherd, or they're following the wrong shepherd. As Christians, it's our role to lead them to the one true shepherd. Amen. If you're not a Christian yet, if you're just checking it out for the first time coming to church, I want to encourage you to study the Bible. Look at what Jesus says about himself and look at what he calls us to become. Amen. Jesus is the good shepherd. Last point is, are you a good sheep? Are you a good sheep? Yeah, keep going. Thanks. Are you a good sheep? Back in John 10, the natural response of such a perfect shepherd is to want to be his sheep. The natural response. In this chapter, that's exactly what Jesus calls us. And I don't know what it was like to hear in that first crowd that Jesus is calling them sheep. Peter was in this crowd, and I don't know how he received it, but years later, he has a strong conviction about it, and he, in one of his letters, tells those Christians that they are sheep. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 25, you were all like sheep going astray, but now you've returned to the shepherd and overseer of your souls. It became Peter's conviction that we are sheep. Jesus considers us sheep. Now, how do you feel about that exactly? Have you ever seen a sheep? In America, we don't do sheep. In America, it's mostly cows and chickens. And I love coming here and seeing the sheep. I love driving along the motorway and seeing the green hills and all the white specks. I think the white sheep makes the grass look greener somehow. It just looks more serene. I love it. And every year I go to Manchester to visit a family. They're called the Mobs. I don't know if you know the Mobs. They have a farm, and there's sheep everywhere. And it's great. And what looks lovely from a distance, you go up to these sheep. Thanks. You go up to these sheep. These things are actually really dirty. And their fur is full of knots and dirt and stuff, and they smell terrible. That's if you can approach them, because they're afraid of everything. As soon as you 10 steps away, just run away from you. Hey, I wanted to. Okay, well, the sheep. I don't know how I feel exactly being called a sheep. You know, it's funny watching them. I made a joke. You know, they eat. Literally. All they do all day is eat. I don't know how they were able to survive before humans came along without their protection. Because all they do is eat. They're just like little hoovers. They just munch, 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 munch all day. And then they get tired and they sleep. And then the next morning they wake up and they eat some more. What does it mean that Jesus calls us sheep? Well, we're not exactly like sheep. But we do have a few similarities. To name a few, we do tend to follow the crowd. Yeah. All the sheep are moving in this direction. Well, I feel like moving in this direction. It's amazing how much we are influenced by peer pressure and advertisements and our culture. Everybody's going in this direction. Well, I'm going to go in this direction too. Very sheep-like. We, just like sheep, we often don't know what's good for us. The sheep will eat anything. Anything. It's the shepherd's 24/7 job to make sure that they don't kill themselves lead them away from the poisonous berries and the steep cliffs that they're not looking out for, and they could injure themselves. We often don't know what's good for us. It's amazing that the things that we want in life that we think will make us happier. The things that we go after, that we strive for, our goals in life, the money and the possessions and the number of Facebook friends and the higher up on the corporate ladder will be. These things, yes, this is what I need to make me happy. And it shows in our prayer lives. All the things that we ask for, me, me, me. Jesus looks at that as the good shepherd, and he listens to our prayers and he gives us what we need, not what we want. We often don't know what's good for us. Some similarities, we can make that list longer, I'm sure, but there are some differences too. Some differences between us and sheep. Unlike sheep, we can choose our shepherd. Unlike sheep, we can choose who we follow. And I pray that we make a good choice about that. Unlike sheep, we can choose what kind of sheep we're going to be. We're in control of our own growth and what we're working on. And our humility. And our Christ-likeness. We can choose what kind of sheep we're going to be. Are you a good sheep? I've got three tips for us this morning on how to be a good sheep. Three tips. Number one is trust the shepherd. Trust the shepherd. Sometimes it's scary. You know, he's leading you to a place that you're not familiar with. But you remember that he knows us better than we do. And he knows what's good for us better than we do. I had no idea why God wanted me to come to London at the time. But now, after 2.5 years, I can look back and see how much I've grown in this wonderful new family that God has given me. Sometimes we don't know what we need. We just trust God. He opens doors. He closes doors. We can be content with whatever our good shepherd gives us. Amen? Trust the shepherd. Number two, being a good sheep. Always listen for the shepherd's voice. This is why we have quiet times in the morning We start our day by reading God's Word, by immersing us in His teachings always, constantly, constantly hearing His voice. The more that you hear Him, the closer to Him you become, the more you understand Him, and His vision becomes your vision. Always be listening for the shepherd's voice. And lastly, number three, being a good sheep is love the other sheep. Love the other sheep. 1 John 3:16. We know Christ loved us because He gave Himself up. He gave up His life for us, and we ought to do the same for our brothers. Love the other sheep. Amen? Just to wrap up, I want to conclude. Thank you guys for listening. I hope this has been an inspiring study about what it means to be Jesus' sheep. If you want to learn more, I suggest a book called A Shepherd Looks at Psalm 23. Fantastic, fantastic devotional book on what Jesus goes through in order to lead us sheep. And it'll help you to appreciate Jesus on a whole new level. And today, we've seen from this passage what happens when we look at Jesus and respond as His sheep. It says in verse 10, we will have life to the full. Life to the full means healthy. It means at peace, well-fed, close to the shepherd. You have everything that you need, everything that you want, being His sheep. Psalm 23, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. We have everything that we could ever desire. As a sheep, we understand the truth that there's something greater at work here. It's not just me and my life and my family and my job and my neighbor. No, God is working in my life, watching over me, using me to bear fruit and to spread and to make an impact on this world. Life to the full means no regrets. No regrets. Jesus is a good shepherd that will give us life to the full. He knows what we want. He's able to give us what we need. Jesus is the good shepherd. Nobody else will lay down His life for you to take away your sins. Nobody else can do that. Jesus is the good shepherd. Let's be good sheep. Let's renew our vows today to make Jesus our shepherd. I want to end with Hebrews 13. Fantastic passage. End here. In chapter 13, verse 20, he says, may the God of peace, who through the blood of the eternal covenant brought back from the dead our Lord Jesus, that great shepherd of the sheep, equip you with everything good for doing His will. And may He work in us what is pleasing to Him through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. Thank you for listening.